As we prepare ourselves for worship, one of the perks about being at home and doing Zoom is that you can make up your own sacred space there in your home. So if you have a candle, feel free to light it. If you need a warm cup of coffee or maybe something to eat, this is a good time to do that as we center ourselves on worshiping our God. So as I light this candle, Jack will light the candle in the sanctuary. But let us prepare our hearts as we listen to the prelude. Amen. Welcome to Grace United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. So no matter where you are, if you're joining us on Zoom or watching this on Facebook or listening to it on our website, we're so glad that you could worship with us this morning. A special thanks to those helping with us this morning with worship. Jack, who is in our sanctuary, our liturgist, for Jim working technology, for Terry who has brought flowers to our sanctuary space and making that look really nice. And we also give thanks for Perry and his musical gifts. So if there are no other announcements, let us join together in the call to worship.
Do not be discouraged. God continues to sow seeds of love and mercy.
Thanks be to God, the sower.
Even now, seeds are being planted into our lives.
Thanks be to God, the sower.
Let us prepare good soil for God's seeds to take root.
Thanks be to God, the sower.
Let us worship God, from whom all blessings flow.
Let us worship our Creator.
Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants, and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend. Yes, you will go out with celebration, and you will be brought back in peace. Even the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. In place of the thorn, the cypress will grow. In place of the nettle, the myrtle will grow. This will attest to the Lord's stature, an enduring reminder that won't be removed. Our second reading comes from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat down beside the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he climbed into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd was standing on the shore. He said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. In another, a yield of 30 to 1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Consider the parable then of the farmer. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown on the path. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word and immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce. In one case, a yield of 100 to 1. In another case, a yield of 60 to 1. In another case, a yield of 30 to 1.
Thank you, Jack, for reading our scripture lesson for this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. According to the USA Today, the three most common jobs in the United States are number three, food preparation workers, number two, cashiers, and number one, can you guess it? A salesperson. Now, I wasn't too surprised to learn that. We love to buy stuff in this country. It makes a lot of sense. But we often forget that throughout Scripture, the most common occupation was not the person getting you to buy something or the person collecting your money, but most people were farmers, people who tilled the earth and planted seeds, celebrated good harvests, and endured through drought or disasters. Their life depended on farming. A good harvest meant the survival of their family, and if the harvest went really well, they could take that food to market and sell it, or use it to barter for things they may need. Our scripture, all the way back to the creation story, draws upon agricultural imagery to communicate God's truths about the world. For instance, God created the human Adam. Now that Hebrew word for Adam actually is Adamah, which translated means earth creature. So God formed from the earth, from the very soil, humans, revealing that we are a piece of the whole of creation shaped by God. Farmers listening to these stories would have seen how they are a part of creation and how God is at work in their daily lives as they cultivate and care for plants that will produce nutrients they need to live. They understood the work of preparing good soil for seeds to one day bear fruit. Now, I have to be honest for a second. I grew up in a Cleveland suburb, and while my family had a small garden, I have never spent hours tilling soil, removing rocks, pulling weeds, planting seeds, and then to continue doing that day after day. If something didn't grow, I would never ask why it didn't grow. I just assumed it was bad luck. Fortunately for me, my father-in-law, who is with us this morning in worship, is an agriculture teacher. And by extension, Jessica knows a thing or two about soil and the work that it takes to prepare good soil. And I did my homework this week and learned about prime farmland soil. The resource Jessica gave me listed 7 features, but for our purpose this morning, I'm only going to draw on 2 of those: loamy texture and moderate permeability. Loamy soil will have a more equal mix of clay, silt, and sand, making it flaky on top, but not too sticky, but enough for it to be rolled into a ball. Can you imagine this soil? Have you put your hands in this soil before? This is perfect. These are the perfect conditions for a seed to grow. Now, permeability determines the rate at which air and water move downward through the soil layers. So clay has slow permeability because water has a harder time getting through the layers, while sand has a rapid permeability to where water penetrates the layers quickly. Good farmland will consist of loamy textures with a moderate permeability, creating the perfect conditions for the seeds to grow. Farmers or gardeners are able to create these conditions, but it takes constant work and tending to. Jesus went out of the house to sit beside the lake, and soon a large crowd gathered around him, so he climbed in a boat and paddled just offshore. Teaching from the boat, he told them the parable of the sower. But really, the sower has very, very little to do with the story, so we'll call it the parable of the soil today. He tells them the farmer goes out to scatter seed. And unbeknownst to the farmer, some of the seeds fall from his bag, and the seeds land in 4 very, very different environments. What will happen to the seeds? The crowd may have asked. And Jesus says, some seeds fell on the path, where birds came and ate them. Others fell on rocky ground, where the soil was shallow. These seeds sprouted immediately, but the sun scorched the roots because they were not deep enough. Some seeds fell among thorny plants, but those plants were too large and they would overcome the seed from getting the light or water that they needed. Then there were seeds that fell on good soil, this loamy soil, this moderate permeability soil. And that environment caused the seeds to grow and bear fruit in plenty. And then Jesus explains the parable and talks about the conditions of each location as it relates to one's ability to understand the kingdom of God. Now, as a devoted Jewish teacher, Jesus' concept of understanding went beyond intellectual knowing or the memorization of scripture or the Heidelberg Catechism, but understanding the kingdom is linked to the way one lives their life and or experiencing it. The depth of understanding is found in how one pursues the good news. So Jesus is pushing his followers to think about what environment best represents their preparedness to hear and live the kingdom of God. Have they done the work to be good soil for the kingdom to grow that bears fruit in plenty, enough to nourish their human family and creation? So let's take a moment to look at each environment, the path, the rocks, the thorns, and the good soil. And first, the path. The seeds that fall in the path are those who choose to hear, to not hear, or understand the kingdom of God. The seeds that fall here have no chance to grow, absolutely no chance for life. The ground has not been prepared. Wildlife or the elements will overcome it every single time. So it is when we ignore the possibilities of God's work in the world. When we say it is impossible for God, we have closed ourselves off from being the good soil God can use. Those possibilities are snatched away. The rocks. The seeds that fall on rocky ground are those who hear the word but do not understand it. The seed has a place to go, but the roots are kept from going any deeper. It can only stay at surface level. And so because it is so shallow, the sun can easily burn the plants before it can bear fruit. We hear and trust in God's love for a little while. But to understand, which again, as Jesus teaches, is to live, is something we're unwilling to do. We choose to have a shallow relationship with God, and when things get difficult or when we go through trials, we have made it so easy for God to pull out of our lives, and thus the possibility of God's work through us and within us. There is no follow-through when we hear Jesus say, "Go out into the world and be my hands and feet." The thorns. The seeds that fall amongst the thorns are those who hear the word, but the worries of the world or the lure of wealth chokes the seed from getting what it really needs. Maybe you have felt this recently. I know I sure have. These days, where I have to take a break from the news is really important. To take a break from the coronavirus numbers, to take a break from everything, to find life and well-being, because the thorns and weeds can quickly overcome us. The trials we go through in our lives, our health concerns, relationship trouble, watching anger and toxic speeches on TV, it can overwhelm us to the point where we can't allow God's purpose to grow within us. And what do we do? Being the soil in the midst of thorns, we often criticize everything in the world, where we feel like if only the world or politicians would do A, B, C, the world would be better. But it stops there. We would rather criticize those protesting to defund the police instead of listening to the life-giving conversation about public safety in our community, especially Black and Brown communities. We would rather criticize our leaders rather than thinking, how can I be a part of the change? And believe me, this is a rabbit hole easy to fall into, especially when our leaders are as inept or divisive or as toxic as Pharaoh or King Herod. But God did something life-giving in the midst of those stories and calls us not to be overwhelmed, but to do something life-giving within our community. Maybe some of us need to make it a weekly chore to work to remove these thorns and weeds so that we can truly prepare ourselves for what God is already doing. Good soil. Finally, verse 23. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields. Do we truly understand these words from Jesus? To be good soil is to understand. To understand is to live. To live is to bear fruit, and the purpose of God's fruit is to allow others to be nourished and live. It could also be said another way. If our actions don't allow others to live, we have not prepared our soil to allow God's seeds to grow. Therefore, it could be said that we do not understand. We are living in a time when people, especially Christians, do not understand the kingdom Jesus came announcing. They don't understand that wearing a mask is the very kingdom work Christ taught and lived. It has nothing to do with being a Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative, but God's kingdom work transcends the pettiness of our politics because all that matters to God is life. Jesus teaches that to live peace, one must be peace. To give God the glory is to let God's glory live in its fullest. To allow God's seed to grow in us, we must prepare the soil. Just imagine the possibilities of God that could take root and give fruit when we simply hold on to the sacredness of life. The parable of the soil stretches beyond wearing a mask, but anyone who advocates for life in its fullest, for Black lives, Indigenous lives, transgendered lives, homeless lives, refugee lives, elderly lives, for the life of the planet. Whoever is in need of life, Jesus calls us back to think about the soil of our very being, our spirituality, and ask, are we able to cultivate God's gift of life and love in the world? This could be the question posed to the disciples listening to Jesus from the shoreline, and the question we need to ask ourselves to faithfully live God's love in a world of need. Friends, are we tending to God's garden? Are we pulling weeds and thorns? Are we clearing the rocks that keep roots from gripping deeper into the earth? Do we hear and understand God's kingdom? I wanted to end with this, and it comes from one of my favorite theologians, a Catholic mystic by the name of Thomas Merton. Some of you may be familiar with his work. But I think this fits beautifully with the parable that Jesus has taught us. And Merton writes, "If I were looking for God in every event and every moment, they would sow in my will grains of God's life that would spring up one day in a tremendous harvest. For it is God's love that warms me in the sun, and God's love that sends the cold rain. It is God's love that feeds me in the bread I eat, and God that feeds me also by hunger and fasting. It is the love of God that sends the winter days when I am cold and sick, and the hot summer when I labor and my clothes are full of sweat. But it is God who breathes on me with light winds off the river and in the breezes out of the woods. His love spreads the shade of the sycamore over my head and sends the water boy along the edge of the wheat field with a bucket from the spring. While the laborers are resting and the mules stand under the tree, it is God's love that speaks to me in the birds and streams, but also behind the clamor of the city. God speaks to me in God's judgments, and all these things are seeds, seeds sent to me from God's will. And this is important what he says. If these seeds would take root in my liberty, and if God would grow from my freedom, I would become the love that God is, and my harvest would be God's glory and my own joy. Chances are you're listening and you're worshiping with us and you're not a full-time farmer. I know we have some avid gardeners amongst us. But besides all of that, Jesus taught us the importance of preparing our being, preparing our spiritual selves, and readying ourselves for the seeds that may fall. So may you in the coming week tend to the garden. And as Merton says, may you find joy in being God's love. Amen. So our next hymn will be new for some of you, as it was new to me. And so I'm really hoping you're living up to the name of Grace UCC. Because I know it's not going to be a melody you have heard before, but Perry has played it once through so we can all hear it. And then we're going to sing, start with verse one after that. But I invite you to pay attention to the words, which I think are really beautiful for what is going on in our world today. Into a time of pastoral prayer. We have a couple of prayer requests that were lifted up this morning. And if you have something you'd like to place into the chat, you're free to do that as well. And we'll lift that up later in the prayer itself. We were asked for prayers for Terry and Jack's grandnephew, Jonathan, which some of you may know, but we pray that he is safe. He has some health conditions that make him more susceptible to the coronavirus. So we're going to lift him up in our prayers today, that he is safe and that he can not get the coronavirus. We also have prayers. Kathy lifted up prayers for someone she knows that is recovering from what is going on with the coronavirus. So we lift up her in our prayers. We also have a celebration, Jack's surgery that some of you know, which was on Friday. He was doing well. He popped up immediately. So he was, it has already been helping and back at it. So we give thanks that Jack's surgery went well. And we also have prayers for those who are in nursing homes and those who are caretakers. It's a very tough time to care for those that we can't see. And so let's keep them in our prayers this morning as well. Let us come together to God in prayer. Gracious God, seeds of life pour from you daily, scattering among all of creation. When we take the time to look, we see signs of new life that surround us. Help us to prepare our lives to receive such blessings, so that they may grow and provide fruit to all of creation. Let us be fertile soil, rich with nutrients, allowing your spirit to permeate our lives with the water of life and oxygen for breath. When we have difficulty, teach us again how to prepare ourselves to receive such blessings, and so too to join you in the world to create. Loving God, we are overwhelmed by the thorns, the politics that only divide, the leaders who only care for power. We are overwhelmed by our new ways of living to keep us safe, but also keep us from doing the things that we love. God, give us the strength to carry on. Give us the nutrients to create good soil in these difficult times. God, we pray for all those who are lonely this morning, those who long for a hug or a handshake, for those who miss friends or family. God, we pray for our doctors, nurses, social workers, and chaplains, all those who are tending to the sick in our hospitals, and all those caregivers who are tending at home. God, we pray for those hard at work to find a vaccine. And we also lift up those prayers which were spoken early. We pray for Jonathan. We pray for Kathy's friend. We give thanks for Jack's surgery, and we pray for those who are isolated in nursing homes. And now, God, in this moment of silence, we lift up those unspoken prayers that are all in our heart. God, you know these situations more than we do. And we pray that your healing and touch and your comfort is with these people in this time. We pray all of this in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we turn to our place in the bulletin where we have a reflection on giving, I wanted to remind you that we continue our ministry here at Grace. In spite of social distancing, we are continuing our work here. And you may have gotten your newsletter this week. We are opening the office, but we're taking a lot of procedures in order to do that so we can keep Sandy safe. So we can keep myself safe and Jessica and our future baby who should be here sometime soon. But our work continues. And we invite you to give your offering by bring it by the church. You're also invited to mail it. Or we also have an online system, which Jim has put into the chat of the Zoom. Or you can go to our website and click the circle that says give. But we invite you to give what you can in this moment. So how shall we do God's work in the world this week? How are we going to be good soil in these times? I think one of the biggest things we can do, the biggest expression of love these days, is to continue to wear masks, to social distance. And this is how we show that we understand the message that Christ brought us. We're going to close with our last hymn, which should be more familiar, Go, My Children, with My Blessing. And you can find the verses in your bulletin, and we invite you to join along with us. There we go. So go into the world, and as it says in verse 2, grow and love by serving, joyful and free. And know that you aren't alone, but you go with our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Go now in peace. Amen. Thank you. And Jim will unmute us, and don't be afraid to say good morning if you would like to. We can imagine you're all leaving the sanctuary and I'm greeting you. So if you'd like to say hi, feel free to do so.